When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forever Dog.
The goody goody.
Sabrina Jellies. The goody goody. You're listening to the goody goody. You guys, it's a quarantine and we can't sit in front of people, so we've got to talk on Zoom and we've got to record the podcast that way, and that makes it a little lapsy, a little bit. And you'll notice some of those cool, fresh quarantine rhythms or shuffles, shall we say. But it's a great episode with Sophia Bush. My mom is at the end. Ingrid Haas pops up to talk about her short that was supposed to debut at South by Southwest, but you can see it on Amazon. It's called Still Wild. All sorts of things to just really sink your little ear teeth into. We're going to take a short hiatus of the goody-goody after this episode, so really savor it, okay? Really taste it on your tongue and swallow it. I love you. Are you enjoying Zoom / tell me what you were going to say?
Well, I was going to say I really loved this tweet that I saw yesterday. This incredible woman, Shannon Watts. I don't know if she tweeted it or she reposted it, but she runs that cool group, Moms Demand Action. Mm-hmm. And it was a tweet that said, look at this. Essentially, I'm going to be more crass than the person was, but it was like, look at this fucking Yahoo dressed up as George Washington to protest the quarantine. Does he not know that George Washington instated a quarantine to prevent the spread of smallpox?
I mean, I didn't know that, but like, also like, it's just wild. It is just wild. But I do hope it makes me sad. And the last episode that I recorded of this, I literally like called my guest before and was just crying. And I was like, I don't know if I can do the podcast today. It's just like, do you feel those ways? Do you feel like, what is your emotional wave been like?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's crazy. I go through these, like, it feels very roller coastery. And sometimes I'm like, I'm going to be productive. I'm going to read that book I didn't read. Look at me. I'm going to take the dog for a walk. None of this is all that exciting, right? But then there's times where I just, like, I see those videos of families in these never-ending lineups of cars hoping to get to food before it runs out.
Yeah.
At these pickup locations. And I'm just, like, staring at the news, sobbing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then I hold the dog and I'm like, I just don't know what's going to happen to us. And she's, like, looking at me like I'm a psychopath.
Food?
I don't know. The whole, it's a very weird thing. She's like, burp, are you going to feed me? It's a weird time and like a weird situation to be in. And
I guess for you, this in common, but like I see in, you're an actor, but I see you as mostly as an advocate. I see you as like a person's person, someone who lifts people up. And I kind of, I mean, I also feel like someone, I like to take action. I like to like do a thing. And because right now we're just sort of the action that we mostly can take is to just like freeze in time. Do you find that that's like especially hard for you? Mm-hmm. Or I think, I mean, like the answer is really like, bitch, if you wanted to, I've said bitch 100 times and the podcast, it's 7 minutes in. So that's the drinking game. Okay. That's the quarantine drinking game. When I say bitch, you slam a whole beer, baby.
Let's do this.
Let's do it.
I was going to have a coffee with you, but maybe I'll just go get a tequila and we'll get lit.
Do you want to make a tequila soda and come back?
My morning was great. I did an episode of my podcast, which was super fun. And then I joined this Zoom call. I can't believe I'm going to say this out loud. Like, what is my life? I joined a Zoom call with Hillary Clinton and like 30 other people. Yeah, it was so cool. And like 30 other
30 people.
30 people
and Hillary Clinton? Get,
yeah, it was dope.
Dude.
So she ran this like Q&A conversation. There's this woman who she did a lot of work with on advocacy and come here, Maggie, like advocacy stuff and work in the Congo. And this woman is from Montana and just like, you know, lifelong dedicated service person who's going to run for governor of Montana. And like, she's such a badass and she's running against that tool bag who body slammed the reporter 2 years ago. Like that horrible person. And she's just like this incredible woman. And I just think it's cool to see the way people are figuring out how to show up for each other during this. Cause the whole thing was that they essentially ran it like a fundraiser. And, you know, you normally like buy tickets to come and hear someone speak or you go to a town hall or whatever. And so Secretary Clinton, essentially was like, well, I'll do like a Q&A session with her. And then also talk about, you know, how getting women elected changes things, which feels poignant right now. You see every country ruled by a woman has like the lowest incidences of COVID around the world.
I know, it almost seems when I hear that, I'm like, is that fake? But it's real. It's real. It's not just a meme. It's like a real fact. Damn. We just have more empathy and we get
it's
that
a
we're
real
a collective.
Fact.
We're a collective. We are of each other.
Mm-hmm.
God.
Well, and we've never been in. Yeah, we've never been in the position of supremacy. We've always been in the position of oppression. And that's obviously relative. It's harder for women of color than, you know, women who look like me. And the list goes on and on. But we know what it means to not, or rather, I guess we don't know what it means to be so entitled that we think we just get our way all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We've always had to play as a team.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we've always had to make some sacrifices because we don't get everything we want and everything doesn't go our way. And so it's pretty cool to see, you know, whether it's on Angela Merkel or Jacinda Ardern, like just crushing it. It's great.
And that's how you live forever, dog. So you are doing, like, you're in here and you're digitally doing. Because, like, what else are you going to do? You got to keep doing. I've been kind of like, I also am now like full-time daddy mommy. So it's like now my life is much more sort of like the way my Muslim forefathers would have wanted it for me. Where it's like, all right, bitch, look after that kid that you made. That is the drinking game, bitch.
You're home with that baby.
I'm home with that baby,
there
which is great.
Cheers.
Cheers, baby. Thank you so much for doing this podcast.
Cheers, baby.
Were there any
I love it.
Were there any?
I just wish we could do this in person, but it's like we'll get there.
Yeah. In person is going to be a while. I listened to that daily yesterday. Did you listen to the daily yesterday? It's just like this whole experience has been this like psychological kind of like. It's a huge challenge. It's like every next level is a little bit harder because every next level gets a little bit more real in terms of A, how long it's going to be, and B, how little we know about our circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
I also fucking hate how Zoom, it's like you send a thing and then it's like a radio. It's like we're playing. It's like, I can see the words traveling through the internet to hit your ear. And it's like, you know, we're trying, we're like zooming and we're like trying to do things digitally, but it's just like, it's just that much less good.
I know. And it's that thing too with the delay where I'm like, fuck, I keep cutting you off right in the middle of a question. And
it's like,
it's just,
it makes you into like a person that's never spoken before ever. Like, it's like this double dutch of like, okay, and now I will get in and you can't do normal like cut-ins. You can't just be like, oh yeah, girl, because then you'll stop your story and be like, sorry, what did you say? And it's like, oh no, I was just saying, oh yeah, girl, I like what you're saying. And it's like, okay, cool. So that's a detour of 20 seconds in a world where we have 24 hours for detours. I don't know. Am I losing it? I think that doing more digital, like getting involved digitally will probably help me get my groove back.
Yeah, and I don't know. I don't know what a groove is right now.
Yeah.
And I feel it. It's like the stop and starts are weird and the delays are weird. And the moments where I've had an okay couple of days, so I get lulled into thinking things are getting better. Mm. And then I remember that they're really just not. And this is a serious situation. It's like, it's just kind of all over the place. And some days I feel like I get some things done. And on other days I'm like, it's 4 o'clock. I haven't taken a shower yet. And I've washed a towel.
I mean, would you describe your armpits at that stage? Because I would like to say onion forward with some char. People would assume feminasty Jalice, which is what my website URL is, wouldn't shave her pits. However, I'm shaving those fucking pits because guess what? Every single dongle of hair holds onto that onion even after I've taken a shower, so that I will take a shower when my pits are long hair and then be like, I need to shower again.
Ooh, that's the real deep shit.
Mm. Yeah, I can't do it. I also, before we were so free, I did a lot of, because I'm Italian, I did a lot of lasering. So I can't grow my pit hair out even if I want to.
Oh, girl, you know.
I just like don't have the option.
You know, this is a canvas that was full of just full hair, just like full all over my face and body. Actually, no, mainly it was like 12 years old. I got a thick ass mustache. And then a beard came, but like white skin and dark hair is best for lasering because the laser gets confused on my hair. Although I think lasers have gotten better. That being said, I've thought about my laser lady 1,000 times a day. Am I going to see you again, laser lady? I started doing my pussy. Am I ever going to have a lasered pussy? Just really, these girls
are
going
through it.
Is it
ever
going
to be completely what I wanted it to be? Yeah. Or is your pussy going to look like my armpits do, which kind of are like Trump's head? There's like 6 little hairs really trying to cover some skin, but they just can't do it. Like that's the situation in
I
shave them all the time.
I like personifying your armpit hairs and giving them the drive of covering the pit of like, oh, there's just 6 of us guys. Yeah. We've got to do it.
We got to work really hard, guys. Don't give up. Leave no man behind.
So speaking of that kind of speech, did Hillary give any sort of like, okay, while I've got you here, I want you guys to know this is going to be okay? Or no?
It was less patronizing because honestly, I feel like if anyone said that to me right now, I'd be like, okay, like I respect you, but also we don't know anything.
Yeah, that's true.
She's very pragmatic. I mean, good God, I wish she was the president during a pandemic. But she just said, look, you know, historically we've kind of convinced ourselves that it's really the upper echelons of government that matter most. And she said, this should be such a significant time to show us how important our local elections are. You know, governorships matter. And she was saying, you know, and to her, just to her character, she was praising both Democratic and Republican governors who've done the right thing. So she was talking about, you know, what's been going on in California with Gavin Newsom and how responsive he has been, you know, and then Eric Garcetti and the mayor up in San Francisco. And she was talking about the difference between responses in certain states, like Georgia being a dumpster fire, getting ready to open again, versus I think she was saying Ohio has done really well. I would need to go back and look at my notes. Because we were on the call for a long time, but just saying, you know, this governor is a Republican and he's doing a great job. And, you know, this person is as well. And we worked together when we were in the Senate and I really respect this and that about him. It's like, she so sees people for who they are and understands that the whole point is that we're meant to collaborate.
Yeah.
And that all of this sort of partisanship that's been really accelerated by a government based on reality TV propaganda and trends rather than what's actually good for people has been so destructive. And so it was really, that made me hopeful where she was like, no, we're supposed to work together. And most of the time we do. And if we get more serious about elections on a state level, whether people are Democrats or Republicans, as long as they're actually working for people, we'll be able to collaborate and get things done. And And that made me feel hopeful because like, she's just not playing partisan bullshit.
Yeah, we can feel so. I mean, it is completely hopeless feeling to look at the press conferences that this fucking pirate ship puts out. It's like, oh my God, that can truly suffocate. It's just like, this is who's in fucking charge. But that is really uplifting to remember how important local, like the local response is. Do you have some?
It was cool.
Do you have some quarantine hobbies? Like things that you're doing now? My friend is just like knitting continuously.
Oh my God. I just started blushing.
What's the?
This is the magic of Zoom. I didn't think you said, do you have quarantine hobbies? I thought you said, do you have quarantine hotties? And I was like, whoa.
Oh my God. That's a way, dude, 100% better question. Revised fully. Do you have some quarantine hotties, baby?
I mean, I may or may not have like a quarantine crush. It's fine.
Oh my God, that's so cute. You know, Shauna and I met long distance, and I think that like having distance right in the beginning of a love connection is super good luck. And not just luck, it's like the amount of time that you get to put in to like actually get to know each other before involving so much else.
Yeah. Yeah, communicating. Honestly, like the best relationship that I was in my 20s was long distance. And it was such a formative, like early love for both of us. And we're still friends. And like, he's my buddy and I'm obsessed with his wife. And they just had like the cutest baby. I don't know. There's something to the fact that it's like such a true emotional connection and that like we grew up together a little bit that we've been able to always maintain a friendship. And it's like so special because there's people I've dated that I literally have no desire to ever talk to again. And I look back and I'm like, I can't believe I let that person kiss me like on the mouth. What was I thinking?
It is wild to think of like escapades of the past. Now, I mean, Shauna and I have been together for
it's so weird.
Almost. Actually, Shauna and I have been together for 12 years in like 2 weeks. So I think about like these wild the secret of 12 years. I mean, yeah. I think that it speaks to like what we're talking about with the sacrifice of holding on and waiting and getting to know each other before. Cause the one thing that you do, I mean, I think the one thing that you do with your partner that you don't do with everyone else is sex, but everything else you have your full life everywhere else. So if you hold off on the sex part and just build that relationship part, and then the sex is like on top of it, then I think it's a better foundation, or it just allows you to like build some roots before it becomes the other thing. But the secret long-term relationship is definitely like working on it. For us, like I feel like whenever I meet a couple that's like, we just never fight. I'm like, all right, so let me know when you want me to hook you up with your next partner, because never arguing, no conflict insinuates that one person's just like, yeah, sure, sushi. Well, no, Thai, whatever you want. You know, it's like, you can't possibly agree on everything.
Who let the dogs out?
Anyways, I find therapy to be super, super, super useful. Are you in therapy?
Yeah, I do too. Yeah, I dip in and out. I haven't been lately. I think like I had unpacked a whole bunch of stuff and like I needed to kind of sit with it. What I've learned about myself is that I really, really want to dig in. I really, really want to be in community. I really want to just like do all the things. And then I need to kind of go away and like crawl into my shell a little bit and just let things be. Like I think about butterflies, and not to be like such a cheesy 16-year-old who's like, oh my God, I'm going to get a butterfly tattoo on my lower back. Like, that's not what I'm saying.
Girl,
here.
You better get a lower back butterfly tattoo. I already regret saying this because it's cutting you off on Zoom. And
I'm going to get a butterfly. No, I love it. But I think about the concept of metamorphosis like that, and that how insane, like truly insane it is that a caterpillar makes a cocoon, crawls inside of it, and it doesn't like sprout wings. That's not what happens. the caterpillar literally disintegrates into jelly. Like, it becomes just a clump of cells that have no shape, no body, no eyes, no nothing. And then a butterfly motherfucking grows out of essentially a petri dish that used to be a caterpillar.
Wow.
Like, it is full destruction and, like, mooshing of all nice. The cells you've been to become the next version of yourself. And, like, I've realized that I need a little bit of that in my mm-hmm. life. I'm partially very extroverted, but if I don't feed the introvert in me, then I miss my own feelings because I'm really good at taking care of everybody else. And so I've realized, you know, the silver lining of this very sad global experience for me on a personal individual level has been that I've really been able to cocoon quite a bit. And so I feel like I've been making some new stuff with, like, lessons from therapy and lessons from work yeah. and just sort of my own observation. And now I'm kind of like, cool. Yeah, no, I gotta call my therapist soon and just be like, guess what I've been figuring out?
Yeah. I mean, I'd say I do therapy every 2 to 3 weeks, and that allows me some time to like chew on it. And every time before therapy, unless I'm having like, you know, a specific meltdown, I generally feel before therapy like I've got it all figured out. I mean, I'll chat with her for an hour, see how she's doing. But then, like, especially on FaceTime therapy, it like cut to me just like crying and feeling. And wait, who are you quarantined with?
Yeah.
Are you quarantined with your quarantine hottie?
I have no comment.
Oh my God, you have quarantine hottie. You're quarantining with. It's not long distance. Everything I said was not actually. Who's in your dream quarantine house? Honey, I'm taking it right back to your fucking dream team. You're in Marntrana. You're in Marntrana. And who's in that goddamn cabin with you?
Yes.
Your new quarantine hottie's obviously there.
I mean,
I'm obviously there. That means Shauna and Wolfie are there.
Yeah. And Wolfie. Good. Okay. I was just clarifying because I'm like, we talked about this being our quarantine.
Yes.
And if you guys aren't coming, I'm going to be sad.
I'm going to add. You add one. Okay. I add one.
So there's four humans and a baby.
Yeah. And it's a 10 bedroom.
I'm definitely going to add I'm adding my friend Sam because she and I do everything together. And we've been quarantined together since the beginning. So I already know that we're both immunosafe. Who's next
okay.
for you?
I am going to go ahead and add. I want to go high on this one. Oh, I think Chrissy Teigen and John Legend, their family would be fun.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yes.
She'd be cooking fun
also
stuff.
Also, because we would be entertained and she would cook.
And you know that they drink
yes.
and they'd have fun. You know, we need to keep like fun yeah. people in the mix.
Uh-huh.
So who do you got then?
Yes. Oof. Okay. So that means I'm making it a little less personal, which is fine. My friends won't be offended.
Yeah.
They know that they're there.
Yeah, we could get our friends we know. You know you're on the side, friends. We'll get you in on the side.
Yeah. No, for sure. Someone who is a friend, but who also is like a fun public person. Do you know that Swedish pop star Tovlo?
Yes. Yeah. Let's get Tove.
So Tove is so dope. And her boyfriend, Charlie, is one of my favorite people. And the way they've been passing the time in quarantine with all the people who live in their house together is they've been throwing themed dinners. So they've done like a Game of Thrones dinner, a Disney princess dinner, and like Charlie dressed up as Moana.
Cute.
And I just feel like we need that kind of energy to keep us like entertained.
Yes.
And they could DJ for us like when John and Chrissy go to bed because they have a baby, so they're a little more responsible.
Oh, that would be so fun. You just gave me a great idea. Wolfie's birthday party,
right?
I dressed up like Maui from Moana.
Okay.
And I have the costume in the basement. I'm going to do that tonight. After he gets up from his nap, when before dinner, I can come in and be Maui
it.
And sing your welcome.
Oh my God.
That'll be so sweet.
Ooh.
We do have to figure out. We've got to figure out those little things. Like, I'm glad that you.
Will you maybe take a video of that so I can see it?
Sure. Yeah, we'll do that. It is like going to be clutch to come up with those little like moment things. Like the little sort of like themed, like Shauna sometimes makes us get dressed up and we'll take some pictures and like we'll just be in whatever the theme is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So who do I add after that? I feel like we're in a pretty good spot. From there, I think from we launch the pod with that. We fill it in with our friends. Do you have any other dreams? Dream people? I want someone to protect us.
I mean, honestly. Ooh. Okay. So I have two people who I would want to add who would bring their people.
Yeah.
Two of my best guy friends happen to be two of the best chefs that I know. A guy by the name of Eduardo Garcia, who actually lives in Montana with his badass wife.
Perfect.
And is like a hunter and he has like an acre long garden and he just like knows the land and how to live on it and could teach us things.
Oh, I want
to
know him so
bad. And then my
buddy
Kwame, who is from, Kwame Onwuachi is like literally one of my favorite humans. He's one of my favorite, like, you know, new friends from the last however many years. And every time he's in LA, we throw a dinner party and it's honestly just so fun. And I think him and his fiance would be a dream. And again, we would just have an entire house full of people who could like do shifts, making amazing meals and throwing costume parties.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to caveat that we have like some kind of, I don't know, Amazon allowance so that we could order the things we need and not be stressed out about the fact that no one's making any money. You know,
yes.
That feels like a...
And then
like an
obviously
way to support ourselves at this fantasy cabin.
Yeah. And we raise money obviously to give back because we are, if we put out like one clip a day, we get people to bid, we do a Patreon for the house.
Yeah.
It's perfect. One thing that I'm just realizing about you is that your fantasy people,
ooh,
your fantasy
that.
Dream
maybe,
people.
Maybe we could even do.
That's a classic Zoom. Two people zoom in different beams. We could even do. I choose we could even do. And then I do a notice about you.
Wait, but tell me.
No, you do.
Oh, okay,
you
okay,
do.
Okay.
We could
I
even
do.
You perform.
No, I get it.
We could even do.
I was thinking we could even do because we have so many good cooks in the house. Maybe we set up a thing with like Zoom or Airbnb experiences where people could buy tickets to like experiences to do cooking classes with our pod chefs.
Yes.
And then we could like raise a bunch of money for Feeding America and Frontline Foods. And we could be doing the good things from our dream house.
Yes. Can I pitch another thing? It's a show.
Yeah.
It's a show. However,
yeah,
we don't need to, it's a reality show, which does need some drama. Okay, because we've got like it's like Real Housewives, right? There's the marquee sort of moments, but people will want some drama. For the drama,
okay,
we will invite our most dramatic friends. Those people will take the slot of like, they will get wasted at night, fight with each other. That's the drama content. We just show up at the party and say like, you know, honey, you should have stopped at one bottle last night. Yeah, perfect. Okay. But what I noticed about you is that your dream friends are true friends, which is, I think maybe, would you say that you're a connoisseur of friendship with dynamic people?
Mm-hmm.
Would you say?
Yeah, for sure. I would say I have, you know, like all of us, I've certainly over the years had to do some editing and really make sure that the people who are in my life and close to me are not only meaningful, but like deserve to be there and give as much as they get.
Okay. So you mentioned editing right off the top.
I just feel so grateful for my community.
So what is an editable sort of thing for you? Like what is in Sophia Bush's world? What do you edit around? Cause I think editing, when it's interesting that you bring up editing as the first thing of like, building dynamic friendships is like you need to know when to fold.
Yeah. Well, and I think especially because you said, like, I observe that you are this kind of person in your friendships. Yes, but I always want to clarify that something that looks good or maybe looks effortless, like, nothing's effortless. Nobody becomes a hit overnight. We all have, like, hustled and struggled. And I think that's true in relationships too. Mm-hmm. And when you are a person with some modicum of, like, fame or public attention, everyone gets to know you when you're famous. They, like, didn't know you when you were busting your ass. So there's this, like, subconscious assumption that everything has always been easy. And I want to be really upfront about the stuff that isn't and the stuff that still isn't, like, mm-hmm. you know, and for me, I have had to realize over the years that as much as I still feel like the ultimate fanboy who doesn't know how to behave in public and, like, talk to anyone and is scared all the time and looks around rooms I'm in sometimes and goes, like, ooh, is tonight going to be the night these people figure out I'm the person who doesn't belong here? Like, mm-hmm. I'm always going to be the awkward 13-year-old who didn't fit in middle school in some way. And I've really had to, and I'm so lucky that I have the good friends I do, girls like Vanessa and Jenny, who were my roommates for almost a decade, and my friend Sam, who I referenced, my girlfriend Lauren. Like, I've got people in my life who are so there with me, who like, honestly, about a year ago, we had kind of a sit down, and the consensus was like, hey, it's really special that you don't see yourself as, like, some special person, or you don't think that whatever, like, quote unquote fame you've achieved, like, matters because there's people you look up to who've done so much more and whatever. But, like, you're a target for a lot of people, and you can't just assume that everybody has good intentions with you. Mm. And when you go through a friendship, like, and we kind of laid out something I was experiencing at the time, where they were like, even if that person is a nice person, like, look at the last 3 years, this person is using you. Mm. And, like, that stings. But what would be worse is if you didn't have anybody in your life who was willing to help you see that so that you can call it out and not be subjected to it anymore. Mm. And it was, like, kind of an eye-opening experience for me. And interestingly enough, like, when you talk about how harsh you were when you were 16 and how different you are now, I think one of the things that I like the most about myself as I've grown over the years is that I just treat everybody with so much more grace than I used to. And so my going through a friend breakup in this scenario, I was like, I'm not mad. I'm not bitter. I just, like, I'm not here for you to feed on. Mm. Like, this isn't supposed to be like that. Friends are supposed to be like batteries. You're supposed to be plugged in together and recharge each other. And, like, you, like, I can give to you when you need, and you give to me when I need, and we run energy and, like, we make things. And it's,
you're like, I've lent you $60,000, but you will pay it back. So how did you guys kill the person?
Yeah. And so
how did you murder that person?
I think, well, if you ever watched Breaking Bad, you'll know that all you need is a plastic tub and a bunch of acid.
Oh my God.
Don't put the body in the bathtub. No. Don't do that. That's how it falls through the ceiling, Jesse Pinkman.
Honey,
you know? Come on.
I knew you'd bring the tips, and you brought the ultimate tips.
I got the tips. Here's the thing I realized, because, like, you know, my family is Italian. I'm like, oh yeah, murder humor is, like, our love language.
Yes.
And so sometimes when someone's really going through something, like, I'm obviously joking, but my ultimate expression of love is, like, who hurt you? I'll kill their family. People kind of look at me sideways, and I'm like, no, that just means, like, I love you and I'm down.
Yeah. And if I was to do it, I would do it, like, have you seen Breaking Bad? Like, with the acid, so you wouldn't have to, like, worry about a trace. But that is also my love language. This is still humor.
It's not that I don't know how to do it. It's that, you know.
Who let the dogs out?
Sophia Bush, I love you so much, I'm gonna fucking kill you.
I love you so much, I'll kill someone's family for you.
Honestly, this has been the most fun I've had on Zoom. Oh my gosh, Ingrid Haas, writer, director, actor. Ooh. Do you do act? Is actress as weird
in your ear? I've always said actor. Yeah. I hate actress. It's always offended me.
Uh-huh. It's in the world of comedian and plumtress.
It's true. You're an actor. You're the real actor.
We're all the real actors, and all the world's a stage, and all of the stage is in quarantine.
It's true.
So how fucked up is this? Ingrid's first directorial debut gets accepted into South by Southwest. And then, do you want to take it from there?
And then the world ended. And South by Southwest was canceled.
But it was an incredible, it is an incredible short, and it is getting its debut on. For 7 days, you can watch Still Wild for free on Amazon Prime.
Yes. And even if you don't have Prime, they're giving it to the people. And like, even if you aren't a subscriber, you can still watch it.
Amazing.
By just going to the website. And Sabrina is in it.
I'm
as
in
an
it.
Actor.
And can you tell me a little bit about it?
Yes. I thought you were going to say a little. Can you tell me a bit about my performance?
Can you
and
let
I
me thought know? That, yeah, let me know.
That was on brand.
How good that perform form was.
You did do really well. Sabrina was very funny in it. We had a great time.
It was. I'm so proud of you, and I'm so happy to be sharing this with the goody-goody public. Tell us what it is about.
It is about. I don't want to give it away.
Not give
but
it away.
It's a surprise. It's based off of a real thing that happened in my life. I was not married and had a surprise pregnancy with my boyfriend, and sort of what happened with that and how we dealt with it. And it's told with levity and honesty and tenderness. And
my three favorite qualities in both you and people.
The great qualities. And you're so funny at it. And we've got a really great cast of comedians. Barry Rothbard is in it.
That's right. My wife, Shauna, styled it.
It's
did the
true.
Wardrobe for it. There's some really hot looks in it.
Really hot looks. Sean, it was a family affair. Wolfie came to set. Mm-hmm. Didn't put him in the movie, but should have, probably.
Well, he helped cut it, right? With Devin?
Yeah. Yes, and my boyfriend still, he cut it and produced it. And
dare I say fiancé?
Yeah, dare you say it? That's, I find that as offensive, that word as offensive as
yes,
actress.
Yes.
Right?
But at least it's genderless, like whether you're a man or a woman, you've got this dumbass name.
It falls in the category of moist.
Moist, right? Fiancé actress, Ingrid Haas. Yeah. so go to Amazon.com. Is that the one?
Yes.
Or your app.
Buy your peanut butter and hey, watch a movie.
Watch a movie.
It's 12 minutes long. There's a lineup of other really fantastic shorts. Casey Wilson's short, her directorial debut, I believe. Daddy-O is on there. I don't know why I'm plugging
Casey
Wilson.
Why are you
Wilson.
Plugging other things? Let's say the name of your short on the count of three. Your short is called 1, 2, 3. Still wild. And if you're a wild thing, which we all know you all identify as wild things.
Yeah.
Go ahead and watch it. Ingrid, I love you.
I love you. Thanks for having me.
I'll have you anytime. Call your mommy.
Hello.
Hello, mama.
Hi, Bina. Oh, I forgot about it. Okay.
You're on the air, baby. Oh. Baby, yeah, now's your time to get famous in the quarantine, baby.
Okie dokie.
Are you going to talk to us about gardening today?
Yeah, it's very cold up here, and I'm a little bit upset.
Why are you upset?
Because it's so cold. I'm waiting to do some work outside, you know.
When your Swiss mom says I'm a little upset and then there's a beat of silence, usually it makes you sweat. How do you make your kid care whether you are upset at them or not?
How do you make what?
How do I make Wolfie care whether I am upset at him or not? Like when you said I'm a little bit upset, I literally was like, oh God, what have I done to my mother? How do I do that to Wolfie?
I damage think he's him. Too young. He probably doesn't understand this. You know, that's what I think.
So you are, I would say, a master gardener. You grow beans the size of a horse's dick.
I don't think I'm a master gardener, but gardening has been instilled in me, the love for it, by my grandmother growing up as a small child with my two sisters. We each got a little corner of, you know, in her garden, and we were able to plant whatever we wanted there, you know, flowers, vegetables, whatever. But we had to take care of it. Like, we had to pull the bad weeds, water it, and tend to it. And, you know, when the flowers were finished blooming, cut them off.
Which you sweetly, when our donor was getting married, we were all in Mexico before, and you, when you gave them a toast, you said that a marriage is like a garden. You've got to pull the weeds and all of that, which I really liked. Shout out to that toast.
Yeah, I think I like that, you know, saying, because it, you can apply it to almost anything. I was almost thinking to say it to Tanzila, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like our body, our health is like a garden too. We have to, you know, constantly, you know, look after it. Like, you know, we, you know, pull the bad weeds, feed it.
Yeah.
Make sure it gets some sun, make sure it gets some rest, you know. And it's the same with in a garden, right? So I kind of like that. That saying.
So what are you planting right now, or what do you want to teach the goody-goody listeners to plant? Because I would like a potato lesson.
Okay. I would like to teach them that you can do gardening almost anywhere, and container gardening is becoming very popular now. You can look it up, and you can plant many seeds in containers on your balcony or wherever you have some space, ideally outside.
Ideally where you get some sun, right?
Yeah. You have to read up on it if whatever you want to plant. Some things like it cooler, like for instance, spinach doesn't like it very, very hot. That's why you put the seeds in spring when it's still cool outside.
Mm-hmm.
And I put it in about 3 weeks ago, and now I see about 1 centimeter sticking out. So it's coming. Radishes, carrots, and peas. Like,
you took the seeds out of a tomato, and you're sprouting off of that, right? The actual
really
seeds in a tomato she was eating.
Yeah. I just cut it in half and took out the seeds, and I got out of that. I put it in. I put some earth in the egg container, the cardboard one.
Yeah.
And I put two seeds in each thing and a half, so there would have been 12. I've got 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 plants sticking out, you know.
She's rich, honey.
And then I was able to buy some seeds, but the thing is, I'm a little bit late. I'm not sure if these tomato plants will be big enough to put out in about a month. In about a month, when all danger of frost is over, you can plant them outside. But because we don't have such a long growing season, you know, ideally the plant should probably be about 8 or 10 inches tall, and I don't know if it's going to be that tall. The same thing with hot peppers. I had some seeds from 2 years ago. I dried them, and they're growing. I have about 20 hot peppers growing from there. And then I bought some 4 different kinds of tomato seeds. They're growing too. And just now I put beans in toilet paper rolls. I just put the toilet paper rolls in a tray, filled them with earth, like packed it pretty tight in the bottom, put the seeds, which I also collected, but I also bought some, like pole beans. I put them in water for 24 hours, and now I put them in there. In about 5-6 days, I should see them coming out. The beans don't like it when you disturb their roots. So I should be able to just plant that whole toilet paper roll in the ground when it's ready again in about maybe 3-4 weeks, when all the danger of frost is over.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I remember once when we were building a house and we had sold our old house and we rented a house somewhere. I didn't want to start making a vegetable garden and turn the soil, because it's a lot of work to get rid of the grass and make it ready. So I just put some beans in pots and had them growing up. I put some sticks, like tall sticks, and they grew up, and I got quite a few beans like that too, you know. Now my next project is to try to grow potatoes in a big garbage pail.
Tell us.
Just look it up online. It's very easy to do, and apparently it's very, you know, very successful. So I'll see how
Google it. Goody goodies, Google how to make potatoes. And
the main thing is you have to have what they call seed potatoes, which are potatoes where, you know, something is growing out of it. Sometimes
they
got
some
very old
pimples.
Potatoes. They call them eyes, you know. So, but you can also buy the seed potatoes. I mean, there's so many things you can grow, honestly. I just ordered some chamomile seeds, and I'm like, God, you need a magnifying glass to see. They're tiny, tiny, because I want to grow chamomile so I can make my own chamomile tea.
Okay.
We always had chamomile growing back home in the garden. Once it grows, the seed falls down, and the next year you'll have chamomile here and there, a little bit all over, you know, and they make pretty little flowers.
Mm-hmm.
They're like daisies, mm-hmm. and you pick the flowers, you dry them, and you can make your own tea. That's
okay,
very
Mama.
Nice.
Thank you for your gardening tips. Aside from working in the garden, which is kind of meditation in itself, is there any tips? You know, you're the goody-goody queen of Kopfhaar, which is Swiss for keep your head up. Any tips at this point in the quarantine for keeping your head up?
Better times will come. Just be patient, you know, do your thing, you know, make sure this virus, you know, doesn't spread anymore. Do your thing and better things will come. It'll come again. We'll go back to normal. It'll just take a while. And, you know, in a way, I hope it's not going to be the same normal. I hope that we learn something from there, that we are more compassionate, more sharing, you know, let people have health care, even if our taxes go up a little bit. And, that's all I hope that we're learning from this experience.
And lastly, what is your favorite part about me as a daughter and a person?
Because you're very loving and very caring, Dina, and very sharing, you know. You're sending people food by Lyft, you know, you get your groceries and share it with other people. That's very nice.
Okay. You know? I love you very much, Mama. You're my favorite mom I've ever had in my life.
I hope so.
I'll FaceTime you with Wolfie soon. Okay, bye, love
you're
you.
You're my favorite daughter. Okay, bye.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. You guys, it's been another week in quarantine, and I just want to say, I'll kiss you each on the lips, the mouth, the forehead, as well as the throat. Unless you're under the age of 18, in which case I give you a big old hug. And actually, I do none of it, because that's germs. But you know what I mean. I mean, I'm looking at you and I'm tilting my head and I'm looking in your eyes and I'm saying, keep your head up.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcast.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.